Don't hold the Super Bowl in the dome. That would be terrible.
Hey, Tully's would be a good sponsor.
Super Bowl 58, presented by Tully's. Not available in 49 states. Actually, 48. 48, because they got it in Pennsylvania. That's right.
Hey, after that ad, it might be available everywhere.
Tully's That's couldn't right. even afford a Super Bowl commercial longer than Tully.
Welcome to Three Idiots and a Lawyer. Matt Pfeiffer, Joe Shelton, Kevin O'Keefe. Syracuse football gets shellacked. 40-7, the 14th ranked UNC to drop to 4-2 on the season. Guys, it was an ugly game, just all around. Defense is playing 7 to 8 yards off wide receivers against a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback, which I have many thoughts on and we'll get into. There was a punt block early that looked great, that the ACC refs did what they do. We'll get into that as well. And the offense for the second straight week basically sputtered and did not do anything. Just some days you just get absolutely wrecked. And that's what happened to Syracuse. There's just no other way in it. No other way to put it. Syracuse, it was a good old butt kicking.
Very hard to watch, you know, as optimistic as we've been being lately. And, you know, we knew that this was going to be a gauntlet and we'd have to weather it and get through it. But it's very demoralizing to see it happen this way again.
This is our worst loss in a long time.
Yeah, and you hate to see it kind of go in the way of last year where it's like, can they come back from this? Like, is this... It's all about how they're going to respond to this, and we knew that, but I didn't expect to see such a steep drop-off in performance. I didn't think it was even likely that they'd win these games, or I thought they'd at least be somewhat competitive.
Yeah,
and it has to, you know, make you worried, and I'm certainly more worried than I thought I was going to be, just because of how the game looked bad. And there was really not a single positive to take out of it. The coaching was bad, players were bad, everything was bad, and now more injuries are starting to accrue, and that's another concern. And when you have Dino already going answering questions, lamenting the lack of depth, and we're only two games into this three-game gauntlet, and I know I've been very resistant to this, and I've been vocally resistant to this, but it's starting to give you that pit in your stomach that things could go in the direction of last year.
This was, I'll tell you, the year that actually came into my mind more than last year was 2011. And I'll tell you why. Anybody who remembers or doesn't remember 2011, Syracuse got off to a 5-2 start. I think we all remember there was that big win over West Virginia in the dome. There was really high hopes for Syracuse.
We said Orange Bowl.
There was that. Not we said Orange Bowl. ESPN said Orange Bowl after that
game. And didn't we win one of those like late night Friday games?
Yeah, that was the West Virginia game. Yeah,
I thought that was
the West Virginia win. And you had five games left that all seemed very winnable, and Syracuse just fumbled its way through the last five. And you heard later that they lost the locker room. And there have been some quotes in the last couple of days that's making me worried. Garrett Schrader saying there were some guys that just weren't ready to play. And that's never good to hear from your quarterback. And maybe he was being honest. I have no doubt that in his mind he's being honest, but I don't know if that does a lot for your locker room. And then you have Dino Babers saying the depth thing and almost feeling like getting a little testier than we've ever heard Dino Babers. Like, Dino Babers doesn't get testy, right?
It had the tone of, buckle up, it might be rough, and I wasn't ready for that to come from him.
Yeah. I don't know what he knows. Obviously, nobody knows that locker room better than Dino Babers does, right? And
it's fair to point out you also had Elijah Clark going on the record today or yesterday saying that basically they knew that this was going to be tough and that the team is still together. And he made a point of saying that the atmosphere is, you know, everyone's upset and everyone's emotional, but that he specified that it's not toxic. So hopefully that's true. Hopefully that's true.
And that's good. And that's what I hope it is, because I still look at this as much as UNC was a butt kicking. And UNC is a good football team. Let's be honest. Drake May is a great quarterback. He's going to play on Sundays. I mean, there's a lot of NFL teams that are saying, boy, that guy, we want to be our guy, right? And there's a lot of guys on that team who are going to go play on Sundays. But you look after this week and the bye week, there are five very winnable football games yet. Syracuse needs to just take two of five. They can go 2-5 down the final five, and they're in a bowl. And even though that wouldn't be the way we want it, it would still be that progress of getting back to a bowl, which is really where we're at yet, is can we be consistently in bowls? I'd like to see at least three out of those last five. Get to 7-5, which is where I said we'd be. But, you know, I have concerns about the offense, to be honest. I'm very concerned about the lack of offensive production for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, the last time I felt this kind of queasy about a game, like just that one game, not throughout a stretch, but just inside of one game, was the 2013 game against Georgia Tech, which we were talking about on Saturday. That to me was the last time that we got thwacked this bad, and just like Joe said, had nothing positive happen that we could sort of hang our hat on to go into the next week. And in this case, the next week is, you know, one of the best teams in the country who is clearly going to eat our lunch without even thinking about it in the first half. And, you know, we're going to have to keep guys healthy. Whatever success means out of this game is whatever it means. But it just sucks that 2 weeks ago, you know, we were high and mighty thinking that beating Clemson was on the table. And now here we are just trying to limp into being 4-3, you know, going into that final stretch of the season. But yeah, I think first and foremost for me in this past game, it's just the receiving core, man. They were kind of the tip of the iceberg, I suppose. There's a whole lot of else we can unpack there, but we need guys running better routes, getting open and catching the ball. Right. I think that's what Garrett Schrader's alluding to. I mean, he didn't play a very good game, and you can only blame the receivers so much. But he didn't play very well. The defense kind of let us down. For the first time all season, they just didn't look sharp at all. And I think UNC may have caught them flat-footed.
Yeah, I think you guys are kind of forgetting how bad the Florida State game was last year. And I don't feel like this was out of that realm. I think that game was very similar to this one. It was the point where you're like, oh man, like how do they come back from this?
I don't even remember what the score was of that game last year.
40-3. It was pretty similar.
The Pitt game was pretty bad too.
Yeah, but it's just
yeah,
it's
but
one of
the
those
score didn't get pushed up as yeah, high as that was.
It's
yeah.
It's one of those games where, you know, I was okay with losses in this game, in the previous game, in the next game. I was totally okay on paper with losses, but the way it happened is demoralizing for us to watch. I can only imagine what it must feel like having been on that team and playing that game. I mean, you hope, like we've been talking about, that the coaching staff hasn't lost the locker room and that they can rebound from this and maybe put a stronger showing against Florida State and actually be competitive in some aspects of the game for stretches of the game and something just to feel good about and build off of going into the bye week. But that's a challenge. This is the one thing that I was afraid of. The one thing that I said couldn't happen to keep a grasp on the season and be able to still have a successful season when it was all said and done is you can't respond to this by shutting it down. You can't pack it in. And it feels like, you know, that the coaching staff and some of the players may be alluding to the fact that's a risk right now. And I hope to God that's not true, but it's hard for a team to bounce back from something like that sometimes. And what I said going into the game was that North Carolina's defense is good. They're not amazing. They're good. That's a defense that we should have been able to score some points against with what we thought our offense had been, even with, you know, the losses at receiver. We should have been able to move the ball on North Carolina's defense. And the fact that we were able to accomplish almost nothing outside of one drive is concerning. And I don't know if we're going to bother talking about the officiating, but it's hard when you're in an uphill battle. It's hard to come back from something that shifts the momentum so drastically, almost like they were told, oh, you're not going to be allowed to win this game, even if you do play well.
And here's, then, so here's
not the reason we lost, though. We have to preface it. We acknowledge it's not the reason we lost, or we're not trying to say we would have won if we made that call. But it's the most goddamn Syracuse thing in the world for a blocked punt, an incredible, exciting play, to work out poorly for us.
I'll say this, and this was the part of the game I missed, but I will say the following. Obviously, that was not going to be the difference. Syracuse was going to lose this game, even if they'd have gone and scored a touchdown. Maybe it would have changed the momentum a bit. That's the question, right? But UNC was the better team, and UNC was going to win that game. The defense didn't play well enough. I think the defensive scheme was poor. I put a lot of that. I very rarely blame coaching. I really do. Anybody who knows me knows I always say the coaches aren't on the field. I don't like blaming coaching. This is one where I look at Rocky Long and Dino, because I'm sure Rocky Long told Dino what he was going to do, or they discussed it, and said, how could you play this far off the receivers?
On like third and four. Still playing like with an 8-yard cushion.
Yeah, you cannot do that against the kind of quarterback Drake May is. You've got to play them tight. They did not put the defense in a position where they could succeed. I put that on the coaches. This one, I put squarely on the coaches, made poor decisions that did not allow the defense, which is one of the best defenses in the country, to do their job. Right? You can't do that. You cannot have these guys playing that far off. So then you could just pick these little passes, and that's what they did. Little passes down the field. You give these guys slants and whatnot. You couldn't give them space. You had to allow them. You had to, you know, make them fight for every yard, and they didn't do that. So there's that. But back on the penalty thing, yeah, it wasn't going to make a difference. But at the end of the day, and I hate saying this because I feel like I sound like a conspiracy theorist saying this. And Joe, you and I texted about this on Saturday because you're the same way. We don't like saying, oh, the refs have it against us or this or that. But my God, it gets a little suspicious when every time we play the ACC's, like Carolina Mafia, as I call it, UNC, NC State, Wake, Duke, Clemson, and sometimes Florida State, but even those schools that are outside the Carolinas in general seem to deal with this. And it doesn't matter where it's football. Basketball, too. There's penalties. There's fouls. These magical things happen all the time. And it just starts to make you curious. Are you protecting your brands? And if that's the answer, then that's the answer. But you do have to ask sometimes. And I hate that. I hate that I'm asking this. But you sometimes just like, how? When the broadcasters are literally saying the guy is a yard short, and there is not a question in the world, and anybody who's watching that game could acknowledge it's a yard short, how could you come up with the other answer? It just seems to happen so often that you start to begin wondering if there's a trend here, and we're just the new guys on the block yet. We won't be it anymore next year, that still get the short end of the stick on some of these things. I don't know. I really hope that's not it. It's not, you know, oh, we got to protect the Carolina brands and Florida State or Clemson or anything. Like I said, Florida State, this doesn't seem to happen as much. But it's those, you know, Clemson or...
And that explanation is easier to wrap your head around than the amount, the degree of incompetence that would be required to come to that conclusion otherwise.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I mean... And the inconsistency
that they told Dino, oh, he made the 42-yard line, and Dino said, no, he didn't. And they're like, oh, we reviewed it already. He made the 42-yard line. And Dino said, no, he didn't. Go review it again. I'm calling a timeout. You're going to go look at it again. And then they come back to him and say, oh, we didn't have the right camera angle on a nationally broadcast ESPN game. They didn't have the right camera angle. They didn't have the one that we all saw?
I just have questions. You know what I want? I want somebody to take – the old school ACC schools, UNC, Duke, NC State, Wake, and Clemson, like especially the ones that are near the headquarters. And I want to see their penalties in football games and fouls in basketball games and compare it to everybody else in the conference.
I think we know what that would show.
That'd be kind of upsetting. I don't know. I guess just to play devil's advocate a little bit, everyone's got the same conspiracy theories in the SEC as well. Like everyone thinks the SEC refs are out to get them and that they're all, you know, padding the stats for Alabama and, you know, and Georgia and like the perennial favorites of the conference, and that the little guys can't really rise up. But I don't know. I'm sure every conference has its own thing. Frankly, I just think that call was incompetence.
I hate bringing it up. I really hate bringing it up because it didn't.
It does feel like this happens a lot, though.
It doesn't make the difference in the game. And I've never been one to say home cooking or anything like that. Like, I've never been that guy. But sometimes it just happens so much. And I think Joe said it Saturday, so egregiously, that you just begin naturally asking questions. Like, what the heck is going on here? Like, are these guys this bad that we need to? And I'll tell you what you need to do, honestly, and we can leave it at this. You know what fixes this? And this is an NCAA-wide thing. No more conference referees. Having national collegiate refereeing organization that controls the referees and the umpires and whatever for whatever sport, right? So that you don't have to sit there and ask, are you protecting your brands and things like that? Because if it's from a neutral thing, there's no brands to protect, right?
Well, if that neutral thing is the NCAA, though, then it's going to
protect
Ohio State, Notre Dame, you know, Alabama, et cetera.
Yeah. You know, well, bourgeoisie. you can create a separate organization, the National Collegiate Referee Association. I don't know. Something where the paycheck is not coming from the conference. The paycheck is coming from a neutral site, right?
I'm good with that, as long as it's not the NCAA that gets to make the decisions about them, because they're better than the conferences.
Yeah, so anyway. But let's put that aside. Let's kind of get back to the game itself. I don't know. I mean, does anybody have any other additional thoughts on this? I mean, to me, I'm worried about the offense. I think the defense will bounce back. I think the defense is too good not to bounce back.
I think you have to be concerned about the offense because, quite frankly, you know, we're talking about Drake May. He's not the reason we didn't have a chance in this game. He could have played poorly, and we scored one touchdown.
Yeah.
One drive that moved the ball. Doesn't matter who the other quarterback is. You can't win a game 9 times out of 10 only scoring once.
Nope.
And the play calling is questionable. It's like they don't know how to drop a play for a big third down conversion. They're trying to get too cute in the wrong moments. And now I don't know if it was the shot to the face that he took against Clemson, but Garrett Schrader is hesitant to tuck it and run. And I know we wanted him to look downfield more, and he was doing that early, but there are moments where the pocket's collapsing and he's got to go and he's not doing it.
And that's the difference.
Or he has an option play where he's got LaQuint Allen next to him and he's making the wrong read almost every time. He's keeping it when he's getting stuffed in the backfield. He's not pitching it when there's room, and then he's giving it to LaQuint when he's getting swarmed. It's just, yeah. It seems like no matter what he does, the last couple games, it's been the wrong decision on those option plays.
It has, and that's concerning as well.
That was his bread and butter.
Schrader just showed some flashes as a passer early this season that kind of went away this past week.
After Clemson drilled him in the face.
I don't know if it's just that he's limited as a passer, right? Because like the games that he's really gone off and put the team on his back, those have been when he just is able to overpower whoever the quarterback spy is on the defensive side, right? Like when he gets out of the pocket and he just starts roaming free, like that's when he's most dangerous. I would just like to see him make a little bit of extra time behind the line of scrimmage, scramble to the sideline, buy some time, and find a guy downfield, you know, keep your eyes downfield as opposed to tuck and run. Or in the case of this past week, just get swallowed up by 25 guys and have absolutely no daylight, right? They bottled him up completely. There was no room to run. And I think that spells a little bit of a warning sign for us being a little bit one dimensional. So I don't know. I mean,
I think nobody's open. There's nowhere for him to go. I mean, there were enough plays where he had plenty of time, and there were just coverage sacks.
If we could just get Aronde Gadsden's like clone for a week, we could just borrow him, so that way we can, you know, maybe put up some points against Jordan Travis and Keon Coleman, who are just, I mean, no matter how well the defense plays on Saturday, we can't keep up with these guys. Like, I don't know if you guys have followed Keon Coleman this year, man. He's a monster. Like, yeah. It's going to be like Calvin Johnson versus like the JV freshman team. And he's just going to be like dunking on us all day. The guy's like 6'5". You know, he's able to, I don't know.
He's six touchdowns this season. He's very talented.
You're right. I mean, I don't know. I would like to see the defense really key in on him and run some special coverages to limit his opportunities. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if this past week's any indication, I think we're in for a rough outing on defense, and we're going to have to put some points up to even be remotely competitive if we're not throwing the towel in, which may happen in the first half or third quarter.
Well, before we move to Florida State, let's do stars and demerits. So, Joe, first.
Well, I guess I'll start us off with a little silver lining, and that I feel compelled to give a star to LaQuint Allen, who at least I felt was effective in his limited touches he was given. It seemed like when they did hand him off the ball on early downs, he had some room and he had some nice runs early on, and then we just fell behind so much, the run game kind of went by the wayside. But early on, when we were giving him the ball, he had some nice early down runs. And that's going to be a key part of our offense if we're going to have any success going forward. And I think he still looked pretty good. Yeah, he looked good. It's just everything else was so bad around him, it didn't really amount to much.
I'll give a demerit to whoever decided the defense should play that far off the receivers. I assume it's Rocky Long combined with Dino.
I hope the defensive coordinator had a say in what defense we played.
Yeah, Rocky Long gets a demerit. I mean, what are you doing? That was a horrific strategy. I mean, it's like he didn't even watch North Carolina. I mean, I'm sure he did, but man, that was just way off. And that made us out of it before it even started.
I think it's everything we needed to have said has been said. I'll give a star and a demerit to Deuce Chestnut, because we're not happy you left us, Deuce, but there's always room for you if you want to come back.
Deuce Chestnut, who is no longer with the team at LSU.
He's not on a roster right now, to my knowledge.
Seems like a scenario we don't want to touch at this point. I think that ship has sailed, and I hope he latches on somewhere. Maybe he needs to go to a lower profile school where there's less pressure and less spotlight, and he can just play football. I don't know what the deal is, but I'm not sure.
Do you know what happened? I have no idea what happened. I just know he's not on the roster anymore.
He also, I don't know, I'm not going to trash the kid who's got something going on, but I also don't know that he would be one of the two or three best defensive backs on this team right now. Especially, I mean, if we remember the way he played last year, he was okay.
Yeah.
Some of the guys right now have been playing better overall than Deuce had. All right. Let's move ahead. Week three of the
Deuce
gauntlet.
Deuce was a freshman. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Week three of the gauntlet. Syracuse heads on the road to play fourth-ranked Florida State, 5-0 overall, 3-0 in the ACC. Noon on ABC. Florida State, their best win of the season. They beat LSU in Orlando, 45-24. And Deuce Chestnut, the aforementioned Deuce Chestnut, was picked on all day in that game. But What's interesting about Florida State?
Because they had him on Keon Coleman.
Yeah. There's interesting about Florida State. Then they beat Southern Miss big, 66-13. And then Florida State has had this odd thing where they've somewhat played to their opponents, if that sounds at all familiar. They barely beat Boston College on the road, 31-29. In fact, Boston College should have won that game. Boston College had a dumb penalty. And
fumble.
Or a fumble, excuse me. A fumble. If they hadn't fumbled, Boston College actually probably would have won that game. Then they played close with Clemson. That went to overtime, won that one 31-24. And then they beat Virginia Tech 39-17 in a game that was relatively close for a decent part of it. So this is a weird team. They are one of the best teams in the country. They're really good, right? Jordan Travis is thrown for almost 1,200 yards. He's got two more yards to get to 1,200. He's averaging 8.3 yards a pass. So that tells you just how much they're picking up. 12 touchdowns and one interception. He's only been sacked five times all year. Okay? That's once per game. And I don't know where those sacks are split up, but this is a guy, his line is incredible. It's going to be very hard to get to him if you get to him at all. And if he has time, he is going to get it to some very talented receivers. You mentioned Keon Coleman, Kevin. 278 yards and six touchdowns on 20 receptions. He's not even the number one, the leading receiver for Florida State. It's Johnny Wilson. 357 yards on 20 receptions and two touchdowns. You know, Jaheim Bell, the tight end, 10 receptions for 151 yards and two touchdowns. And this is a team with a really good running back, too. Trey Benson, 389 yards on 51 carries. He's averaging 7.6 yards a carry. He's got six touchdowns. And we saw the running game. North Carolina got the running game going against Syracuse as well. You know, you saw Omarion Hampton have a really solid day. So that's going to be important. And then you've got a really good defense. Kalen DeLoach, Tatum Bethune, two linebackers that are going to cause chaos. Absolute chaos. 26 and 25 tackles, respectively. DeLoach has three sacks and a forced fumble. And the defensive back, Renardo Green, he has an interception and 18 tackles. Jared Verse, remember him from Albany? Defensive lineman, 14 tackles and 2.5 sacks.
We thought we had a chance to get him.
This is the best team Syracuse will face all year. This is a team that is going to, I said preseason, I said it a couple weeks ago, I'll say it again, they are going to run the table in the ACC, and they are going to go to the college football playoff. This is not going to be a close game. They are going to hammer Syracuse. I know that they've been playing down to their opponents. That's not going to last forever, and I just don't think Syracuse is in a place to compete with these guys. I think this is going to be lopsided. 48-14, Florida State.
Okay, I'm going to say very similarly. I think the offense might, you know, move the ball a few times. I'm hoping it can't be as bad as last week, but who knows. But I think it might still be the sort of game where we're kind of clamoring for Carlos Del Rio Wilson halfway through the third quarter to keep everyone healthy. I'll say 44-17.
I think we get it going a little bit. I'll say 48-35.
Wow.
Oh.
Big comeback for the offense. I'll almost be mad if that happens.
I hope it does.
Yeah, I do. Honestly, I'd like to see them play some football, but.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at what.
Did Brett make a prediction?
No, he did not, but I'm sure he would pick us to lose.
The season's over.
Yeah, he said the season's over.
Yeah, we'll just say 48-0 Florida State for Brett.
Now he's going to text us later with what his actual prediction is.
Well, by the time he listens to this, the game will have been 2 weeks ago, so I don't think we have to worry about him making a prediction.
Ooh, yikes. All right, opponent scores. Western Michigan lost to Mississippi State on the road this past week, 41-28 to drop to 2-4. Purdue loses a close one at Iowa, 20-14. They also dropped to 2-4. Clemson beat Wake Forest in a close one, 17-12. They go to 4-2. Wake Forest is 3-2. Wake Forest is a very strange team. They don't score a lot of points, but they also don't give up a lot of points. necessarily. Very, very unique team, and they're kind of odd week to week. Fifth-ranked Florida State, 39-17 over Virginia Tech. As I mentioned, the Noles are 5-0. Virginia Tech drops to 2-4. Boston College, they played another one of our opponents. Army on the road, they get a close one, 27-24. BC's 3-3. So that's not a game we're going to be able to sleep on. Boston College looks a little better than they did last year. Their quarterback's starting to get things going. We'll see. Army drops to 2-3 on the season. And then Georgia Tech wins after the dumbest.
Oh, my God.
The dumbest thing I have ever seen at any level of football in my life.
Incredible.
So Georgia Tech was at 17th ranked Miami. It was 20-17 Miami with 30-some seconds to go in the game. Georgia Tech had no timeouts. All they had to do was take a knee, and the game would have ended. Instead, Miami hands off the ball, fumbles the ball. Georgia Tech lands on it, throws the winning touchdown with 2 seconds to go. Absolutely ludicrous. How do you not just take the knee and end the game? Miami, that's their first loss of the season. They took themselves out of ACC title potential, basically, because of that dumb move.
I'm sure some of their fans had talked themselves into running the table and having a shot at the playoff.
Just absurd. So Georgia Tech goes to 3-3. Georgia Tech, yet again, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They are the weirdest team in the ACC. They beat Wake, which
whoa,
I think
whoa,
was
whoa,
a solid
whoa, 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 whoa. Who's the weirdest team in the ACC? Is it Georgia Tech or is it Wake Forest, Matt? We need to know.
Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's definitely weirder than Wake, but Wake's close. Georgia Tech's weirder because Georgia Tech beat Wake a couple weeks ago. Looked like a good win. I'm like, okay. Then they get beaten by a not good Bowling Green team in Atlanta, then turn around and beat the 17th ranked team in the country on the road. Choose who you want to be, Georgia Tech. Choose who you want to be. And then Colgate was on a bye this week. That's your scores of Syracuse's opponents. As you can see, a lot of the opponents, well, of the opponents Syracuse beat, not one has a winning record. I'm just going to put that out there. So, but there are still a lot of teams with losing records coming up, or even records. So Syracuse, I think overall, and I will say this, we probybably preseason thought 4-3, and I think this is why it was important to win those four non-conference games, because 4-3 would be a lot better than 3-4 coming out of the break. There's still a lot less pressure coming out of the break 4-3 with five games to play, because you don't even have to win three. You only have to win two to get to a bowl. And I still think they're going to win three of those. I still have us for 7-5. And I think that's where we're going. So 4-3. And then if you can win three of those last five, then you bounced back. And I think all is good. And we just kind of ride this wave into 2020.
Stay healthy. Just stay healthy.
Yeah. That's a big key.
Yeah. If they lose too many more guys, then a lot of those winnable games down the stretch aren't so winnable anymore.
Right. Well, we'll see. Before we go, wanted to mention Syracuse Soccer, who's now number 10 in the poll. They are 6-2-3, 2-1-2 in ACC play since we last chatted about them. They lost to Duke 5-3. Duke was 21st in the country back in September 29th. They beat Colgate 1-0. Then they headed to UNC last week. UNC was ranked 13th in the country. They got a 1-0 win there. And as we talk on a Tuesday night right now, they're playing Temple. And they've got a game Sunday at home against 21st-ranked Clemson at 1 p.m. So if you're up there in Syracuse, go ahead, check them out. If you're not, it will be on ESPNU, nationally televised game. So make sure to check that out if you want a little break from the NFL on Sunday and see what Syracuse is doing. Root on a Syracuse team that's ranked right now. Men's soccer looking pretty good, looking like they could make the tournament again.
We're a football school.
Oh, by the way, those great soccer jerseys, the orange and blue striped soccer jerseys, are now available on Manny's.
Oh, yeah.
Manny's on Marshall Street. Check it out at mannysonline.com.
Whoa, whoa. Can't give it away for free.
I know. I'm just saying.
How could you do that to Shirt World, Matt? We here at Three Idiots and a Lawyer, we do not pick winners and losers. The bookstore is a great place, too.
Unless Manny's on Marshall Street would like to pay us for this ad. I just told you how great it could sound, and you could hop on.
I think I think they're not only going to pay us, but they also have the 1990
Now I'm starting to realize why when I was in Syracuse a couple weeks ago, I walked past Short World and Dave Jacobs was advertising the yellow tag sale. He looked at me, he said, wait, not for you.
Is he still there?
I think so.
Oh my gosh.
At least he's not the all-time points leader in Syracuse football history anymore.
Was he the points? I know he had the most extra points.
That usually makes you the points leader, though. Usually between field goals and extra points, the kickers tend to have the points.
Either way, it's Andre now. Whatever record he may have had, it's Andre now.
Yeah, Andre Schmidt has it now. And we have no problem with Andre. In fact, Andre should come on the show sometime.
That's the one thing that all kickers have above all other players, is if you stick around long enough, then you could score more points than anybody, except probably Tom Brady.
That's right. You know, and if Andre wants to come on the show and talk about, you know, winning the Lou Groza Award, he should. But anyway, that's all we have for episode 115 of Three Idiots and a Lawyer. Next week, we are going to have our Syracuse basketball preview show, since football is going to be on a bye week, so get excited about that. It's almost hoops time. We're going to have some exhibition hoops before the month is over, and it seems to be a lot to be excited about this year. You know, new coach, a lot of good players there. I think there's reason to be optimistic.
We were clamoring for change. Here's your change.
Yeah. And as we said, you're going to know pretty quick kind of where we sit, because we've got some pretty tough games there in the month of November. Even before you hit Christmas, you're going to have a lot of games that are going to test you. So I think that's exciting. Should make it for a really exciting season. So make sure to check that out next week. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at 3ILPod, Three Idiots and a Lawyer on Facebook. Write us at 3idiotslawyer@gmail.com for the mailbag. And if you've got that 1990 NCAA lacrosse trophy, let us know. We just want to know that it is safe. Until next time, for Joe Schell, Kevin O'Keefe, I'm Matt Pfeiffer. We'll see you next week.